In this episode, we continue the story of secrets, history, and family with letter 4. If you haven't yet, we recommend that you listen to the first 3 letters to catch up with his story.
Renowned British composer Leopold Stokowski once said, "A painter paints pictures on canvas, but musicians paint their pictures on silence." We love the images that this quote conjures up. We love how it tries to grasp at how different art forms construct images, ideas, and stories in our minds.
We believe that the power of collaboration can emphasize this effect, and so decided to conduct an experiment.
We brought together postgraduate creative writing students from the University of Lincoln for this research project.
11 writers, 3 months, 1 project. Could we collaboratively write a literary podcast in the epistolary form? Could we use a writer's room dynamic to create a series, one letter at a time? We ask you to decide.
I am Amy Lilwall.
And I am Sherezade Garcia Rangel. And this is On Silence.
Alpengesthof, Edelweiss, Sonnwinkel 19, 8684, Spittal am Semmering, Österreich, 10th of March. 1992. Kostolny, Namestie, 179-06777, Zemplinsky Hamre, Czech and Slovak Federative Republic. For the attention of the parish priest. Dear Father, Dobry den, I hope you will not mind me continuing my letter in English. I speak some Slovak, but I can't write well in your language. This letter is sent to ask for your help. My mama's family live, or used to live, in Zemplinsky Hamre, and I would like to find them. However, I have no address, just some information that I hope you will recognise. Their surname is Hudak, and they lived in a house that had an apple cellar. I wonder, does that mean they live near an orchard? Or do all houses in the village have those? My grandfather's name is Matus. He had 2 daughters, Agata and Kaya. I think Agata would be around 52 years of age. Kaya is my mother. She was a talented musician and gained a scholarship that allowed her to leave Zemplinsky Hamre over 2 decades ago when the country was known as the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic. I also know that my grandmother died many years earlier. There was an accident and she drowned in a lake near the family home. My grandmother's name was Lucia. I am named after her, and she is buried in the cemetery of your church, I think. Mama refuses to speak about what happened. Mama has not been in touch with her family since she left. I don't even know whether they are aware of my existence or my twin brothers. He is called Matthew and named after our grandfather, so I know my mother has not forgotten her family. Even though she never speaks of them, I know she misses them. When I was little, she sang to me in a language I didn't understand. Mama said that one day she would explain, but that day has not yet arrived. I have been travelling through Europe with my friend and have spent the winter working at a ski resort in Austria. We are staying there into the summer season. Seeing the different countryside, hearing so many languages, tasting new foods, and exploring new cultures has made me wonder about my ancestry. People are talking about changes in your country. It seems strange to think that I have family there who I have never met. My grandfather must be old now if he still lives, and I would like the chance to meet him. Perhaps it might be possible to overcome the past. If the wind of change is blowing through your country once again, might it sweep away old grievances and allow a new beginning? If you know the people I mention, I would be happy for you to pass this letter on. Or maybe you will be able to reply to me and let me know what has become of them. Thank you for any help you can give. Yours faithfully, Lutzia Hudakova.
I got a chance to talk to Jo about her letter and about the process of participating in this project. Let's listen to the interview. Hello, Jo. Thanks for talking to me about letter four.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me in.
I'm very excited to talk about this letter because this is the one that sort of gets the story moving in a very particular way. It's a letter from Lutzia, and she's communicating with the father about wanting to get to know her family a bit more, wanting to be there and understand a little bit of that history. But there's lots of different things that happen in this letter, so let's talk about them.
Okay.
First of all, this is the first letter, but not the only one you wrote for this project. Can you tell me a little bit about how that experience was and why did you choose to write this letter?
The experience was actually really fantastic. I had a few brief moments where it felt a little bit daunting, but a lot more where I really enjoyed this whole project. This letter, I think I ended up writing this one because it was me who suggested this as a way of introducing some of the characters and doing a bit of scene setting and explaining how and why Lutzia came to be at her family's home. Mm. So I feel like it's a little bit of a bridging letter in a way. It just gets a lot of information across,
yeah,
rather than moves the story on too much. It was a springboard for some of the other writers to jump off on after that.
Yeah. And it's so important in an epistolary project like this one to be able to allow that, to be able to have every letter have some information that someone else can then take over. This one does so beautifully. You call it a bridging letter. To someone that wouldn't understand what that means, could you explain that a little bit further?
I think it just bridges what might otherwise be a bit of a plot hole in the story. Mm. The first letter had Lutzia at her aunt's house. Mm. We just needed a way to explain quickly why and how she got there. And then we could get on with the real story after that.
Yeah. So the story begins kind of before the inciting incident, which really is this letter in a way.
Yeah.
Where she reaches out and wants to connect. Yeah. So we've talked about this outside of the interview before, but can you tell me about the setting? There's a specific time setting for this letter, which makes it a letter perhaps instead of something else. It's the fact that it's set in the 90s. Yeah. And that travel would have been quite different, wouldn't it?
Yes. I mean, I was in my 20s myself during the 90s, and I was trying to think back because nowadays it's so easy to just go online and book tickets to wherever. I was trying to think back how difficult it would probably have been, and especially in a country like that in the early 90s, to travel. So, yes, we put Lutzia in Austria with a friend working as a kind of chalet girl in a ski resort. Mm. And then I thought from that it would be natural for her to start wondering about her mother's family as she was closer to it and the scenery was more like that she knew her mother would have grown up amongst. And it wasn't such a distance then for her to think, okay, maybe now the weather's improving, it's springtime, I might maybe just travel a little bit further.
Maybe now I dare.
Yeah.
I dare to do this. That's really interesting. Another thing that I picked up on this letter, I'm sure the listeners would have too, is the fact that there's an attempt to kind of break the ice with the language, but she swaps to English. Is that something you thought about at the beginning of the letter? How do you arrive to understanding that she would need to write in English and would hope that the priest, the father, would know?
Yes, it's that's probably a little bit of myself. I think I was trying to think how I would have done it. And you know, when I go abroad, I always try and talk some of the language, even though I'm not proficient in any. And so I think starting the letter just with a greeting in the priest's language was something that seemed polite to do. But then she hasn't got the language skills to continue it. And I definitely didn't have the language skills to continue it in any other language than English.
Yeah.
So that's why we did that.
Fantastic. So the mystery is mentioned here, the mystery about the lake, the grandmother. Why was it important to place that information there?
That was because we discussed as a team, my group one team, we discussed where we thought the story would go, but we didn't want to be too definite on it because the next group were taking over and we wanted to leave them room to take it in whatever direction they wanted. Okay. So we just wanted to plant a seed there and then sit back and watch how it grew throughout the rest of the project.
Oh, and grew it did. We won't tell anything about that yet. Listeners will get to it when they can. But it was really interesting to see this little seed, this narrative seed already planted here, that would become such an interesting part of the story. One of the things I really liked about this letter is that there is this attempt from Lucia to try to grasp a bit more of her family history. She mentions her mother singing to her in a language she didn't understand. So it's something that this has been between them and around them all along, but because of the secrets of the family, because of her mother's kind of resistance to engaging with that, she hasn't been able to know more about. I myself, daughter of, granddaughter of an immigrant, had this experience where my grandmother would only refer to her past very briefly, and things like that. So I relate to Lucia in this letter quite a lot because she just wants to find out. There's a little bit of the genealogical attempt here to try to understand with the languages, with the last names as well. So I find it quite a relatable letter because I feel like even if it's not directly your history, but your family's histories, people tend to want to understand that a little bit further. Can you tell us about that? And you have experience writing about history as well.
I do, yes. I love my history. I'm really glad you said all that, though, because having an immigrant ancestry, that's something that I haven't got.
Yeah.
I do love genealogy. I've looked back into my own family history, love history. But I'm really glad you said that because that's possibly an aspect that I put in almost by accident, actually, without really intending to.
I mean, she's looking out and she sort of breaks it down. She selects, this is who I know. These were the names of my mom and my aunt. They would have been in this situation. That would have happened with my grandmother. So she's trying to piece it together. But doesn't have enough information. That's why she's reaching out.
No, I was just trying to think how I would have approached it if I was in her position, but then trying to tie it in with how she was portrayed in that first introductory letter to try and make it sound like her and not me. But there's an element of me in there thinking how I would have gone about that.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. I think that's key to kind of the craft of being a writer is that empathic, I'm going to try to understand what this person would have been feeling or thinking in this situation to be able to write from that. So without the experience of immigration, you still understood that. You still understood the reaching out, the trying to get that information. So skills of a writer. Amazing. You write about history, so I guess I just want to ask this question. Why is history important?
I don't think you can understand the present without understanding the past. And that's the past in terms of both good and bad. Nothing's new. Everything's happened before. I don't actually think people are that much different today than they were back then. They have some things, you know, we do differently. But if you boil it down, the things people want on a basic level have always remained the same. It's just something that's always fascinated me. I've always felt like I've lived a bit with one foot in the present and one foot in the past.
Yeah, I hear you. I have that feeling myself. You get to write another letter in this project, which we won't talk about just now. We'll talk about this later. But I'm curious to understand how you decided to volunteer to write one more. And what about this letter make you want to continue to be part of the writers of the project?
The reason I wanted to write another one is because I felt like this first letter was quite a formal one. Mm. Some of the other letters, well, all of the other letters were absolutely fantastic and had so much imagery in them and storytelling. And I felt like mine was a bit, it just didn't, don't want to say it didn't measure up to the others, but it wasn't quite in the same tone and style. Mm. And I really wanted to have a go later on in the project at writing a letter where I could try and bring all the writing skills that I've learnt throughout the course of my degree and my MA in creative writing and try and do
show
something
off a letter.
Try and do something that I felt matched the others.
I think, to be quite fair, writing a tentative letter that is sort of bridging, like you said, between one thing and the other, planting all those seeds, that is quite a lot of talent there as well. It's not easy. Perhaps the narrative aspect of something else or the descriptive aspect of something else might be funner to write, but this is difficult to do, and you managed to do it so well.
You see, I don't think I realised that at the time, because when I first wrote it and submitted the first draft, I was expecting the feedback to be, you need a bit more in this. And I was actually really surprised that everyone kind of said, yeah, that's okay. And it didn't need that many edits, that first letter. And yet it did surprise me. So maybe I don't know my own writing too much.
Sometimes it just takes a second to understand what we've created. I have a couple of questions to you that I have asked other writers and will continue to do so. The first is, do you think that writing this way in this project has changed your writing, your understanding of collaboration in any way? I'm just curious to know.
I think it definitely has. It's been a really fun project. There's been certain situations where I might have wanted personally to take it in a different direction, but the consensus was going somewhere else. Mm. And, so it goes with the group decision. It was really good actually to talk it through though and kind of invent these characters as a group. Yeah. And we all threw ideas in. Nobody was sort of sat on the sidelines. We all had an input. And it was just so much fun to see how it grew. If I'd been writing this on my own, it would have been a completely different project and nowhere near as good. There's much greater depth in it, I think, from everybody bringing their own personal experiences in and little insights.
Wonderful. Excellent. So I'll ask you my two final questions. The first being, if you could write a letter to someone, and this is anyone, dead or alive, famous or infamous, who would it be?
Oh, now that's a question. So I suppose if I was expecting a reply to this letter, as you said, I've written about history before. I write mainly about women in the 18th century. Yeah. And there's some of them who there is still mysteries about their lives. So I think I'd definitely probably pick one of those and try and get a bit more information out of them. I think probably my latest book was on Kitty Fisher, an 18th century courtesan. And I think I'd maybe try and get her at the end of her life and just try and ask her a few things and get a few facts. Yeah, and then I could update what I've written. And
oh, nice. Validate. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, the final question. If you could receive a letter from anyone, who would you want it to receive it from?
This is going to be a personal one, but it would be from my mum. Mm. She died quite young and I was still a teenager. Mm. I think that's, if I could have it from anybody, it would be her.
I can understand that. Thank you so much for talking to me about the letter, Jo, and for participating in this project.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
On Silence is a research project and literary podcast written and produced in collaboration with creative writing postgraduate students at the University of Lincoln in the UK. On Silence is published in the Lincoln Review. You can listen to all of our episodes and find out more about this project
on the Lincoln Reviews on Silence podcast website at lincolnreview.org/onsilence. In episode 5, we will continue to explore this story. You will get to listen to the next letter read out loud by its writer and hear an interview with them about working in this project and writing this part of the story.
Listen and explore the power of storytelling and the things left unsaid.
Follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at UofL Writing to find out more about this project and keep up with our stories. This podcast was produced by Amy and edited by me. Episode 5 will be coming out soon. We look forward to you hearing it.
I am Amy Lilwall.
And I am Sherezade Garcia Rangel. And this is On Silence.